Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
This is continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
Oh, sorry, you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. Sir, could you say your name?
My name is Davis Gould. First name is spelled D-A-V-I-S.
Where do you work, sir?
I work at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory in the Criminalistics and Crime Scene Response Unit.
All right, sir, lean right into that microphone, loud, clear voice. Thank you.
So, sir, what is your role at the State Police Crime Lab?
I'm currently a forensic scientist 2, assigned to the Criminalistics Unit, where I perform lab work for biological analysis on evidence submitted to the laboratory. And I'm a forensic scientist 2 in the Crime Scene Response Unit, and I respond to crime scenes when called upon to assist with investigations.
How long have you been with the crime lab?
I've been with the crime laboratory for a little over 10 years.
And can you give us your educational background?
Yes, I have a Bachelor of Science degree from West Virginia University with a major in forensic and investigative science and a minor in biology.
And can you detail your history with the crime lab for us?
I first started working at the crime laboratory in 2015 with the CODIS Collection and Investigative Unit. I was a lab technician. I was at that position for approximately a year and a half until a position opened up in the Criminalistics Unit, where I joined as a Forensic Scientist 1. There was about a one-year-long training period where I went through various modules of training, and upon that completion, I was then promoted to Forensic Scientist 2, which is when I began working on cases.
And you said the CODIS Unit. What is that, sir?
The CODIS unit is a unit at the State Police Crime Laboratory responsible for collecting DNA standards from individuals who are required by Massachusetts general law to supply standards to the state database.
Now, sir, you've said about, I think you kind of briefly told us that you work for two units and the difference, but if you could just help us figure this out, what's the difference between the Criminalistics unit and the Crime Scene Response unit?
Sure. So the criminalistics unit exclusively works in the laboratory. We get cases assigned to us by supervisors, and we then perform the necessary biological analysis on those cases based on the information provided to us. The crime scene response unit, everyone in the criminalistics unit is also in the crime scene response unit. That unit performs the same biological analysis and trace collections as well. However, we respond to the physical crime scenes when called upon to collect evidence, to perform testing, and then write reports.
Are you familiar with competency tests?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what competency tests are?
A competency test is a final test that is conducted at the end of training. In the criminalistics unit, I went through a training period where there were separate modules, where each module is a particular discipline of forensic science. So blood testing, other bodily fluids, trace analysis, etc. And upon completing each of those modules, there is a final exam at the end called the competency test, of which I passed prior to working on any cases at the laboratory.
So I think you might answer my question, but you passed your competency test?
Yes, I did.
Now, are you familiar with what's a proficiency test?
I am, yes.
Can you tell us what a proficiency test is opposed to a competency test?
The main difference is that a proficiency test is performed periodically in each discipline. So, for example, each year I take two proficiency tests in the biological screening field. I take one trace proficiency test as well, and that's administered through an exterior company that will send us a test to perform, and I'll perform the necessary test in that discipline and then write a report on my findings.
And, sir, have you ever testified giving your opinion concerning evidence collection or analysis or forensic analysis of evidence?
Yes, I have.
And the crime lab, is it accredited?
Yes, it is.
What does it mean to be an accredited crime lab?
Accreditation is a voluntary process that the laboratory goes through. An outside agency looks at the standards and procedures that we follow, and which are guidelines set by the greater scientific community and forensic community. There is a certificate that is given every 5 years that reasserts that we're accredited and adhering to the standards set forth by that agency.
I would like to ask some questions about January 9th, 2023. Were you working that day?
Yes, I was.
And at about 2:35 that afternoon, where did you report to?
I reported to the Cohasset Police Department at approximately 2:35.
And why were you at the Cohasset Police Department?
I was requested to process a vehicle involved in an incident in Cohasset.
And was anyone else with you to process this vehicle?
Yes, there was.
Who?
I had a trainee with me at the time from the laboratory. He was going through the training period to become a crime scene responder. There were also members of the crime scene services section to take photographs, as well as members of the state police detective unit.
Your Honor, I'm at this point in my examination, as I begin to start questioning Mr. Gould, I'm going to be referring to a series of pre-marked exhibits or photographs, starting at number 100 going to 128.
When you say they're pre-marked, are they pre-marked and agreed to by the other side?
Correct, Your Honor.
All right. So when you offer them, identify what they are so there's a complete record of them. But at this time, they'll be moved into evidence 100 through 128.
Thank you, Your Honor. And, sir, I might have neglected to ask, did you pass those proficiency tests?
I've passed every proficiency test to date so far.
So, returning your attention back to January 9th, approximately 2:30 p.m. at the Cohasset Police Station in 2023. Ms. Gilman, can we have what's been pre-marked as Exhibit 100, file number 4239, published? Sir, do you recognize this photograph?
Yes, I do.
What is this a photograph of?
This is a photograph of the Volvo I examined on January 9th.
And where is it located, sir?
It's located at the Cohasset Police Department inside their garage.
Ms. Gilman, can we now have Exhibit 101, file number 4250? Sir, what is this a photograph of?
This is a photograph of the front of the same Volvo that I examined.
Now, how did you conduct an examination of the Volvo that day?
Initially, I did a sketch and diagram as well as take some notes based on the vehicle prior to any analysis. So what it looked like from the exterior before I went inside of it and before I started performing any sort of biological testing. I then gathered information from the investigators on scene that were pertinent to the case so that I could determine what forensic linkages I needed to be looking for, and then proceeded with those biological screening tests at that point.
What was the overall condition of the exterior of the vehicle?
Overall, the exterior was very clean. There was an apparent hair noted in the front passenger exterior door handle.
And what was the overall condition of the interior of the vehicle?
The interior was overall very clean with miscellaneous items throughout most of the vehicle.
Ms. Gilman, can we now have Exhibit 102, which is file number 4275? Sir, do you recognize this photograph?
Yes, I do.
What did you see in the vehicle as far as child safety seats?
There were two child safety seats, one located in the second row on the passenger side and another seat located in the third row on the driver's side.
Now, sir, what did you observe as far as any staining inside the vehicle?
There were two areas of visible staining that I noted, one being a red-brown stain on the front driver's side visor, and then there was brown stains noted on the front passenger side visor.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 103, which is file number 4283? Sir, directing your attention to the screen, what is it that we're looking at?
This is a photograph of the stain, the red-brown stain on the driver's side visor that I had marked with a ruler and the letter A.
And so you're the person who put that piece of tape there?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 104, which is file 4286? What is it that we're looking at here, sir?
Similarly, this is a photograph of the brown stains on the front passenger visor that I marked B with the ruler tape.
Now, what did you find as far as gloves on the passenger side of the car?
On the passenger side of the vehicle, on the floor, there were two examination-style gloves. In the front passenger door pocket, there were two additional exam-style gloves in a Ziploc bag. And in the center console, there was 16 exam-style gloves inside of the center console.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 105, which is file number 4279? Sir, did you see this photograph?
Yes, I do.
Can you show us where you found gloves on the passenger side?
Yes. So on the right-hand side of the photograph on the floor, there are the light blue-colored gloves. Those would be the two gloves that I observed on the floor.
And Ms. Gilman, can we now have Exhibit 106, which is file number 4258? Sir, do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do.
And what is this image of?
This is the open center console between the front driver and passenger seats with 16 examination-style gloves inside of it.
With the Volvo that afternoon, what were you able to do as far as any testing?
The testing I performed on the Volvo was the blood screening test we use at the laboratory. It is a color-changing test involving two chemicals. I'll take a clean swab and apply it to any areas that I'm interested in determining if there is potential blood present. It is a screening test, so it does not confirm the presence of blood. Additional testing would be needed. But the color test allows us to visualize stains that we can't see. So I applied this test throughout multiple areas inside the vehicle, looking for blood that was not visible to the naked eye. When it's negative, the swabs don't change any color after I add the chemicals. If it's positive, it will turn a pinkish violet sort of color after the addition of the chemicals. And prior to performing all of those tests, I made sure that my chemicals were working by using a positive and negative control on those chemicals.
And can you tell us what items might trigger a positive that are not human blood?
Yes. So there are vegetables such as cauliflower that have a peroxidase reaction, which is the main reaction in our blood screening test. So that is the main sort of reaction we're looking for. So occasionally those vegetables or legumes such as beans, those are examples of items that can have that positive reaction as well that are not blood.
Now, with this test, were there any areas that tested positive?
Yes, there were.
What areas of the Volvo tested positive?
Of all the areas I examined, there were five that tested positive for blood screening. One was the front driver's side seat controls for the front seat. There was an area on the second row passenger floor mat that tested positive. The third row passenger seat was folded down and the backside of that screened positive for the presence of blood. And two additional areas on the mat that was in the trunk that was covering the trunk storage space. There was two mats, one area on each of them, test screened positive for the presence of blood. And these were areas that I did not observe any visible staining.
And, sir, how many areas do you think you tested overall in the Volvo?
Overall, I would estimate approximately 40 to 50. I covered a lot of the contact areas, so steering wheels, door controls, the radio controls, handles, door pulls, the floor mats, the brake pedals, and many areas inside of the vehicle.
And so, did you have the opportunity to take any samples from the car?
Yes, I did.
And so, what did you take as far as samples from the Volvo that day?
From the Volvo, I collected the hair I previously mentioned, or the apparent hair that I mentioned from the exterior front passenger door handle. And then each of those five areas that screened positive for the presence of blood, I took samples from each of those individually for further testing back at the laboratory.
So can you walk us through, how do you take those samples? Like, how do you package them up? How does that work?
So the samples are collected with a set of swabs. I'll use a drop or two of clean water and apply it to the swabs. And then I'll take those swabs and go over those areas that screen positive to collect any sample that might be there. And then I'll put each of those samples into a glassine envelope, which then goes into a coin envelope that I'll transport back to the laboratory to be sealed and then stored properly for a further analysis.
How long do you think it took to examine the Volvo and collect the samples?
I would estimate it took me roughly 3.5 to 4 hours.
And after collecting the swabs, did you go back to the crime lab?
No, I did not.
Where did you go to next?
While I was examining the vehicle, I was requested to respond to 300 Forest Street in Peabody, Massachusetts.
Well, what time do you think you got to 300 Forest Street?
I arrived there approximately 8:15 p.m.
And can you describe what 300 Forest Street in Peabody is?
300 Forest Street is a recycle and trash collection center located just off of Route 1.
And what did you see when you got to 300 Forest Street?
Mainly there was a large area where trash had been collected from various neighborhoods and areas. And there was a certain section of trash that had been separated from the larger piles that were there.
Ms. Gilman, can we have what's been marked as Exhibit 107, HAS 6556? Sir, do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do.
What is this an image of?
This is the entrance to the Recycle and Trash Collection Center, showing the mounds of garbage that are there.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have HAS 6564, what's been previously marked as Exhibit 108? And do you see this image, sir?
Yes, I do.
What is this an image of?
This is a continuation of the interior of the center.
And so the trash that you had the opportunity to see people going through, I'm going to direct your attention to what's been marked as Exhibit 109. Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 109, 6566? Was this mixed in with all the other stuff that was in, that we just saw, or is this somewhere else?
I'm unsure. This photo was taken prior to my arrival at the collection site.
Okay. Hey, but what is this a picture of?
This is a picture of a separated portion of the garbage in the center.
Now, what did you see? What did you see as far as people searching or going through the trash that night?
By the time I arrived, the main search had already been done, and there was bags of trash that were beginning to be emptied and inventoried by Crime Scene Services section and the detective unit that was there.
And so, what was your role as far as dealing with these bags of trash that other officers were going through?
My main role was to assist with the other units that were present and to sift through the items in those bags to determine what items would be relevant for forensic analysis and then which units would be responsible for taking those items back to the laboratory afterward.
And so once, what was the first thing that was done when a bag was opened if there was some kind of evidentiary analysis that needed to be done on it?
The first thing that I did while the trash was being emptied was I had my notes where I noted the items that were coming out of the bags. And then I worked with the crime scene services section trooper there as well, who photographed those items as they were coming out of the bag as well.
And how many different bags of, well, is it fair to say that you numbered the bags that you found to have some kind of value to you that night?
The crime scene services section did use placards to denote the bags that were, they were removing and photographing.
All right. Ms. Gilman, can I ask that you publish what's previously been marked as Exhibit 51, file number 6810? Sir, do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do.
All right. So what's happening in this image that night when you were at 300 Forest Street?
This is the contents of one of the trash bags that was separated at the center.
And Ms. Gilman, can you now show us Exhibit 52, file number 6867? So now what are we looking at in relation to that last image, sir?
Since that last photograph was taken, bench paper was put out onto the floor of the collection center in order to preserve the integrity of the evidence that we were collecting at that point.
And so if it went onto a piece of paper like this, was it going to be collected?
Potentially, yes.
And this bag, sir, that we see on the screen for Exhibit 52, did you have the opportunity to note what was inside this bag, bag one?
Yes, I did.
Can you tell us what was discovered inside of bag one?
Inside of bag one was a pair of green boots, a black jacket with red-brown stains, and a bracelet inside of the pocket. There was a black purse with red-brown stains, a black wallet, and a pair of headphones inside of a case, as well as a pair of socks.
Was anything discovered as far as car keys?
Yes, there was a pair of Volkswagen keys as well.
Ms. Gilman, can we have what's been marked as Exhibit 110, file number 6869? Is this also the contents of that first bag?
That's correct.
And Ms. Gilman, can we now have Exhibit 111, which has been marked as 6870? Are these also the contents of that bag?
Yes.
Now, I'd like to ask you about another bag you or had the opportunity to examine. Was there a trash bag with a designation 2?
Yes, there was.
What was discovered inside of bag two?
Inside of bag two were two white towels with red-brown stains, as well as a piece of tape with apparent gauze and red-brown stains inside of it.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 112, which is file number 6898? Sir, is that one of the towels that was found inside of bag two?
Yes, it is.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 113, file number 6902. Is that the second towel that was found inside the bag, sir?
Correct.
And what's the other items around the towel?
Those are miscellaneous tissues with red-brown stains.
Now, was there a bag three?
Yes, there was.
What was discovered inside of bag three?
Inside of bag three was a white bathrobe with red-brown stains.
Ms. Gilman, can we have what's been marked as Exhibit 114, file number 6906? Sir, is this a picture of what was found, the bathrobe found inside of bag three?
Yes, it is.
Now, was there a bag four?
There was.
What was discovered inside of bag four?
Inside of bag four was a pair of gray slippers with red-brown stains, a pair of dark gray slippers with red-brown stains and trace materials, as well as apparent hairs with red-brown stains.
So, Ms. Gilman, if we could have Exhibit 115, file number 6915. Sir, do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do.
Directing your attention to this image, the slippers there, which ones are those in the top of it?
The slippers located at the top are the gray slippers.
And at the bottom, what is there next to the left of the jar?
There was a leather strap wristwatch located as well.
And you had said that there was a second pair of slippers that was recovered from that bag?
That's correct.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 116, file number 6929? Sir, can you tell us where the second pair of slippers is in this photo?
Yes, at the bottom center of the photo, you'll see the dark gray slippers with the red brown stains and trace material noted on the bottom of one of the slippers.
What is trace material?
Trace material could reference a number of things. In this particular instance, it references the apparent hairs or fibers that I observed on the slippers.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 117, file number 6934? Sir, what is the trace material you saw that night when you were at 300 Forest Street?
In the photo on the right-hand side of the overturned slipper, there are the apparent hairs and fibers that I called trace materials located on the right-hand side at the toe end of the slipper.
Sir, I'd like to ask you some questions about bag number 5. What did you observe inside of what did you observe produced from bag 5?
Bag number 5 contained pieces of rug with red-brown stains on some of the pieces.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 118, which is file number 6948? Sir, what are we looking at here?
These are pieces of a rug with red-brown stains that I noted on two of the pieces.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 119, file number 6944? Sir, where did you see the red-brown staining on the rugs?
On the two leftmost pieces, the left piece has red-brown stains in the bottom right corner, and then the one in the center of the photo has red-brown stains on the majority of the piece of rug.
So, sir, after bag 5, did you have the opportunity to see anything produced from the 6th bag?
I did, yes.
What was produced from the 6th bag?
Inside the sixth bag was additional pieces of rug with red-brown staining on those as well.
And besides red-brown staining from the of rug, what was discovered as far as a Tyvek suit?
There was a white Tyvek suit discovered in the bag as well, along with a wrapper for a Tyvek suit.
Was anything else discovered as far as a safety goggles or anything like that?
Yes, safety goggles were discovered, as well as additional miscellaneous items.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 120, which is file number 6951? Sir, do you recognize this image?
Yes, I do.
What is this an image of?
This is an image of the safety goggles and Tyvek suit wrappers that were found in bag number 6.
Can you tell us what a Tyvek suit is?
A Tyvek suit is typically a piece of personal protective equipment that one would wear in order to protect themselves from anything they might be working with.
Have you ever worn one?
I have, yes.
When would you wear one?
I have worn one specifically during training sessions where there are biological fluids that we are experimenting with.
Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 121, which is file number 6956? Sir, do you recognize this image?
I do, yes.
What is this an image of?
This is an image showing more of the pieces of the rug.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit number 122, file number 6952? What are we looking at here, sir?
This is a photograph of the lower half of the Tyvek suit from bag number 6.
Did you have the opportunity to see the contents of a 7th bag that night?
Yes, I did.
What was inside the 7th? What was produced from the 7th bag?
Your Honor, may I refer to my notes?
Okay.
The 7th bag contained a bottle of hydrogen peroxide, a ice pack, a blue flap sheet as well.
And sir, I neglected to ask you about the rug as well. I showed you one image, which was Exhibit 121. So, Ms. Gilman, can we have Exhibit 123, file number 6963? Sir, what is this we're looking at?
This is another piece of the rug from bag number 6 containing red-brown stains with apparent tissue.
And what is apparent tissue? So those are, like, I don't know what that means. Not like Kleenex, right?
That's correct. Apparent tissue from the forensic perspective is a material that may or may not resemble human skin tissue. So in this particular instance, based on my observations, that's what I called it.
Ms. Gilman, if you could take that down, and if we could have Exhibit 124, 6974. And so, sir, is this does this represent the contents of the the seventh bag?
Yes, it does.
And so, in the upper center, what is that brown bottle?
It is a bottle of hydrogen peroxide.
And the cut up like labels off to the side, did you note what those were for?
I didn't note what they specifically were for. I grouped them under the miscellaneous items that were in this bag.
And now, sir, did you have the opportunity to see an eighth bag in the contents produced?
Yes, I did.
Ms. Gilman, can we have exhibit 125, which is HAS7002? Sir, what is it that we're looking at here?
This is a photograph of the contents of bag number 8.
And what was produced from bag number 8?
Bag number 8 contained a hammer, a pair of wire snips, a hatchet, and a hacksaw with red-brown stains on it.
And what are wire snips, and then what are shears?
They're sharpened tools that can be used to cut an item of interest.
So which one of those two objects is snips, and which one is a shear?
The shears are located on the right-hand side of the photo. The snips are located in the center between the hacksaw and the hatchet.
Now, sir, I want to ask you about bag 10. Skip it. What was the purpose in the 10th bag?
The 10th bag contained a large piece of tarp that was taped together, so multiple pieces were taped together to form a larger tarp.
Ms. Gilman, can we have exhibit 126? Is this what the 10th bag looked like, sir?
Prior to opening the contents, yes.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have exhibit 127? What is it we're looking at here in 127, sir?
This is a photograph of protective booties that are worn over the bottoms of shoes.
And where were those recovered from, sir?
Those were also recovered in bag 10 once the contents were emptied.
And Ms. Gilman, can we have what's been previously marked as exhibit 50, file number 7029? What is this, sir?
This is a photograph of the tarp from bag number 10 as it was being unfurled from the bag.
And Ms. Gilman, can we now have exhibit 128, file number 7035? What is this image of, sir?
This is an image of additional items from bag number 10, one of them being an apparent piece of insulation and then some scraps from containers.
So, sir, what was done with all of these items?
The items that were taken out of all the bags, we discussed amongst the crime scene services section, detective unit, and myself, which items would be going to which units first for analysis. Items of evidence that would be going straight to the criminalistics unit for analysis, I would be collecting. Items that would be analyzed for potential prints would be going with the crime scene services section, and state police detective unit would be responsible for the remaining items.
So, what items, well, at this point in time, I'd like to ask you something, sir. Are you familiar with what's called the LIMS system for the crime lab?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell us what the LIMS system is?
LIMS stands for the Laboratory Information Management System. It is a software program that we utilize in order to track items of evidence that have been submitted to the laboratory and then their chain of custody history as they move throughout the laboratory.
And so after you had the opportunity to collect items that night, where did you go?
At that point, I left the facility and went to the laboratory in Danvers and submitted items of evidence there under lab number 23-00596.
So that number, that's for the overall case that you're assigned to at this point in time, right?
That's correct.
So what happens as far as when you make a submission of a piece of evidence into the LIMS system?
Once the evidence has been submitted into the laboratory information management system, I then make assignments for myself to write a report based on what I collected from that scene, as well as assignments for the criminalistics unit for any items that need to be analyzed in the criminalistics unit as well. Every item is then appropriately packaged and or dried if it's wet, and then eventually transported to the appropriate storage facility.
And so I'd like to ask you about some of the LIMS numbers that you were able to assign the objects that you entered into the evidence. Your Honor, if it may be with the court's approval and with no objection from defense, would he be able to refer to his report during this portion?
Any objection?
No.
You may.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Sir, what item number under LIMS did the swabs from the driver's seat controls get?
Those swabs were given item number 9-1, 9 referring to the submission and 1 being the first item under that submission.
And what item number did the swabs from the rear passenger seat floor mat get?
The rear passenger side floor mat was given 9-2.
What LIMS number did the swabs from the rear passenger third row seat get?
9-3.
What was the LIMS number for the swabs from trunk mat 1?
Trunk mat 1 was 9-4.
What was the LIMS number for the swabs from trunk mat 2?
9-5.
What was the item number for the swabs from the red-brown stain with the letter A?
9-6.
What was the item number for the hair sample you got from the door of the Bovo?
9-7.
What was the LIMS number for the swabs for the gloves? I'm sorry, what was the LIMS number for the gloves from the floor?
From the front passenger floor, it was 9-8.
And what was the LIMS number for the Ziploc bag in the passenger door pocket?
9-9.
And what was the LIMS number for the gloves in the center console?
9-10.
Now, did you seize any Band-Aids from the floor of that vehicle?
I seized 2 Band-Aids from the center console of the vehicle, yes.
And what LIMS number did they get?
Those were given item 9-11.
Now, directing your attention to the items from 300 Forest Street, what was the LIMS number for the black jacket from bag number 1?
9-12.
And what was the LIMS number for the bracelet from the left pocket of that jacket?
9-13.
What was the LIMS number for the black purse in bag 1?
9-14.
And what was the number for the black wallet from bag 1?
9-15.
What number did the pair of boots get from bag 1?
9-16.
What item number did the Volkswagen keys get?
9-17.
And what LIMS number did the headphones, did you find headphones that night?
There were headphones inside of a case, yes.
And what number did they get?
They were 9-18.
What item number did referring to bag 2, what did you discover as far as any gauze?
Inside of bag 2 was a piece of tape that had gauze inside of the tape. So the non-adhesive side was on the exterior, and then the gauze was on the interior of that tape, and the gauze appeared to be red-brown stained.
And what was that, the item number that you gave to the tape with the gauze and the red-brown stain?
9-20.
And regarding the wipes that you found from bag 2, what was the item number they got?
They were 9-21.
And the towels that were retrieved from bag 2, what numbers did they get?
The white towel, one of them was 9-22, and the other was 9-23.
What about the bathrobe from bag 3? What LIMS number did that get?
The white bathrobe with red-brown stains was 9-24.
And the watch that was in bag 4?
9-25.
Sir, what about the gray slippers with red-brown stains from bag 4? What LIMS number did they get?
Gray slippers were 9-26.
And then there was a second pair of slippers. Were they the dark gray slippers?
That's correct.
All right, so what did the dark gray slippers with trace material get as a LIMS number?
9-27.
And was there any hair samples recovered from bag 4?
Yes, there was.
What was recovered as far as a hair sample?
There was apparent hairs with red-brown stains that were not on the slippers. They were just loose inside of the bag. I collected those as well.
And what item number did they get?
They were given 9-28.
And any wipes recovered from bag 4?
Yes, correct.
And what did they get for an item number?
9-29.
And in the images from that bag, was there a sponge?
There was, yes, a sponge with a wipe stuffed into it.
And what item number did that get?
That was given number 9-30.
And was anything retrieved as far as cuttings, or I shouldn't say that, was anything, what was the item number given to the pieces of rug from bag 5?
From bag number 5, I took a cutting myself from the red-brown stains that were seen on those pieces of rug. That cutting was given 9-31.
What item number did the Tyvek suit get?
9-32.
And in bag 6, what number did the hand towel get?
9-33.
So, sir, now I'd like to show you some of these objects. And before I do, do you have any gloves with you?
I do, yes.
I see counsel at the side of the bench.
Yes, Your Honor. So, Your Honor, with the court's indulgence, I'm just going to be walking back and forth to grab certain objects. And I apologize if I appear to be a ping pong ball, but I think it's probably going to be the easiest way to do it.
That's fine.
Thank you, Your Honor. And for the court reporter, I'll give you the voice up. Sir, what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand you an item that's in the bag. I'm going to ask if you recognize the bag and open it up. I'm not going to ask you to produce anything from the bag, okay?
Yep.
All right, thank you, sir. So, the first item I'm handing you is a vanilla envelope. Do you recognize that?
Yes, I do.
What is it, sir?
This is a manila envelope containing the COVID card of Anna Walsh that I recovered from the scene.
Can you open that envelope in return with that object is inside it?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. The Commonwealth would seek to have this envelope marked as the next exhibit, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No objection.
Is it 129 we're at?
Yes, Your Honor.
The COVID card will be, or the exhibit with pouch that contains the COVID card is now in evidence as 129. Jurors, I do expect that there's going to be a series, and based on what we're consulting with at the side of the bench, there's going to be a series of bags of evidence. But I think the Commonwealth's going to move it in to evidence. And those bags, to the extent that they are admitted as evidence, the co-back was used in the jury room for you to examine as you need during your deliberations. My understanding that they're going to stay in the bags right now. And when they go back with you, you'll have a proper glove, just like the witness now has, right? Thank you.
Sir, do you recognize this bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
This is the bag of keys and headphones that I recovered at the scene.
Would you open and confirm those items are inside that bag?
Yes, they are.
Commonwealth would seek to have the bag with keys and headphones marked as the next exhibit. You're all looking at 130.
Any objection?
No objection.
It's marked and admitted into evidence as Exhibit 130, the mobile keys and the headphones.
So I'm showing you, I'm producing a bag to you. If you could tell us if you recognize it.
Yes, this is a bag of the black jacket with red-brown stains, a pair of socks and bracelet from bag number 1 at the collection site in Peabody.
Could you open that up and confirm that the old items are inside of it?
I can see the black jacket. However, without removing it, there's nothing I can see that might be underneath it.
Okay. So for today's purposes, that bag with the black jacket, I would seek to mark as the next exhibit, Your Honor, without having to move the jacket around and go underneath any objects inside it.
What's the outside labeling say? Black jacket, bracelet, and what else?
Pair of black socks, Your Honor.
Any objection to that?
No objection.
The contents of that packet, which has on the outside of it black jacket, bracelet, and black socks, is now in evidence as 131.
Sir, I'm producing another bag to you. Do you recognize this?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
This is a bag marked as purse and wallet from bag number one.
Could you open that bag and confirm the purse and wallet?
Yes, they are.
How about the tag? This marked as the next exhibit, Rob?
Any objection?
No objection.
The purse and the black wallet, both black purse and black wallet, are now in evidence as 132.
What number?
Thank you.
Sir, I'm handing you a bag and a half.
Yes, I do.
What's inside that bag, sir?
A pair of green boots recovered from bag number one.
And, sir, what is the outside of the bag?
The outside of the bag reads green boots, bag number one, with my initials, my trainee's initials, and the date.
The problem is that you have this mark as the next exhibit.
The bag with the green boots is now in evidence as exhibit 133.
Sir, you recognize this bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that, sir?
This is a brown paper bag containing a bracelet.
Can you open the bag and confirm the bracelet inside?
Yes, there's a bracelet inside.
How often do you have this marked as the next exhibit you want?
Any objection? The bracelet is now in evidence in its bag as 134.
Sir, I'm handing you this first bag. I ask you. I'm handing you another bag, sir.
This bag is marked white towel number two.
And does that look like the bag, the second bag for a white towel that you bagged that night?
Yes, that's correct.
Could you open it and confirm the towel inside?
Yes, it's inside.
It's all open secret. Have this marked next
video. Any objection? White towel number two, from bag number two, is now in evidence as 136. Can I see counsel at the side of the bench?
Yes, Your Honor. I'm producing another bag to you and ask if you recognize that.
Yes, I do.
And what is that bag, sir?
This bag contains a white bathrobe with red brown stains that I recovered from bag number three.
Could you open that bag and put it on the bag inside?
Yes, it is.
How long does it have the bathrobe marked as the next exhibit?
Any objection?
Objection.
The bathrobe from bag number three is now in evidence as exhibit 137.
Sir, what's this bag that I'm handing you?
This is a bag of the dark gray slippers with red brown stains and trace materials.
Could you open the bag with the front of the slippers outside?
Yes, they are.
I'll not see the path of all with the dark gray slippers and the slippers. Is that it?
No objection.
That's also from bag number three, or is that?
This would be from bag number
That's
four.
Bag four?
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you. The dark gray slippers from bag number four are now in evidence as 138.
school. Recognize that bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
This bag contains the leather strap watch from bag number four.
Could you open the room and watch me?
Yes, it is.
The Commonwealth will seek to have the next bag as the watch from bag number four as the next exhibit.
Any objection?
No objection.
The leather strap watch from bag four is now in evidence as 139.
So you recognize that bag?
Yes, I do.
And what is that?
This is a bag containing apparent hairs with red-brown stains from bag number four.
Could you open the bag and confirm that the item is inside?
This one's still sealed.
Oh, you didn't get them off?
Yeah, can't quite get it all. I need your gloves as well.
So, your gloves have opened. For the record, I brought you a new set, so why don't I take yours?
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, they're inside.
The Commonwealth would seek to have the next bag with apparent hair of the red brown stain marks the next exhibit, Your Honor.
Any objection?
No objection.
The hair from bag number four is in evidence as 140.
Sir, do you recognize this bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
This is a pair of slippers with red-brown stains from bag number four.
So those are light gray slippers?
That's correct.
Can you open the slippers in your bag?
Yes, they are.
Come over and see if you have the next bag. Marked as exhibit 141. There are slippers from bag number four.
No objection.
Thank you. The bag's... light gray slippers from bag number four are now in evidence as exhibit 141.
Sir, do you recognize this bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that?
This is a bag containing the sponge with a wipe through it.
Could you open the sponge inside?
Yes, it is.
I'm open to see if you have this marked as an exhibit, Your
Honor. No objection.
Is that from bag four, or are we now moved on to bag five?
You're on bag four, Your Honor.
Okay. The sponge from bag number four is now in evidence as exhibit 142.
So you recognize that bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that bag?
This is a bag containing the Tyvek suit recovered from bag number six.
Could you open it and confirm the Tyvek suit is inside?
Yes, it is.
The Commonwealth would seek to have this next bag, Your Honor, marked as next exhibit, Tyvek suit from bag number six.
No objection.
Thank you. Now in evidence as 143 is the Tyvek suit from bag six.
Cool. You recognize that bag?
Yes, I do.
What is that, sir?
This bag contains the hand towel with red-brown stains from bag number six.
Can you open the crumbs inside?
It is.
The Commonwealth will seek to mark this as the next exhibit, Your Honor, which is hand towel with red-brown stains from bag number six.
Any objection?
No objection.
Hand towel from bag six is now in evidence as 144.
I'm not going to do it.
Still a moment?
Yes.
Nothing further, Your Honor.
Thank you. Cross?
If I just call you, Mr. Gould, do you have a
Mr. Gould's fine.
So, you told us as you began your testimony that when you went to the scene of the always crashing that so that people were collecting bags. At one point, you had to then take out some of the evidence and put it on the paper to quote, preserve the integrity of the evidence.
Yes.
And when we talk about preserve the integrity of the evidence, what we're trying to do is what all of you are trying to do is make sure that you keep it in the same condition that it was in when you found it, correct?
Exactly, yes.
Now, do you know anything about a trash compactor that was taken to that area before you arrived?
I don't know any specifics about a trash compactor, no.
So can you tell the jury if you have any information that some of this evidence has been introduced, that was taken out of a dumpster there, that it had first been in a compactor and then transferred to the dumpster, or you just don't?
I do not know.
When you talk about the integrity of the evidence, it also includes trying to preserve the fact as best you can, of how a particular item that was stained is not stained by another. Is that fair to say?
That's fair to say, yes.
So when you're handling this evidence that you're collecting, you're really taking care not to have one item touch another item because you don't want a transfer between biological evidence between item one and item two, correct?
Correct, to the best of my ability, yes.
Sure. And in this case, and in the collection of this evidence, it's fair to say, isn't it, Mr. Gould, that you have no way of knowing before you begin your examination of these items at the scene how they had come into contact with each other, either within a bed or just being pulled out by people before you arrived.
Before I arrived, correct.
And there is such a thing in your expertise in forensics that includes characterization of transfer of biological evidence, right?
That is within the realm of our responsibilities, yes.
And what that simply means is that one item that has some either biological evidence or something else, if it comes into contact with another item, it can transfer that to the other item. So item A, that may have had a red brown stain on it, I transfer some of that red brown stain to item B, whereas before, item B never had a red brown stain.
That's correct. And the term we would use for that is called Locard's exchange principle.
And that would include, for instance, if you were looking at a pair of slippers like we have in this case, and you see in one of the photographs that there looks to be a pair of hairs attached to the slippers, it could very well be that those hairs that are seen attached to the slipper, they could have transferred to that slipper because of they were already in the bag or they came into contact with something else.
Absolutely, yes.
And so it's fair to say then that when you're out there, very careful, and with all the training and experience you have, there's no way for you to be able to tell a jury with regards to this specific case how exactly some of this red brown stain or biological evidence actually came to be on any piece of evidence.
Correct. I cannot say the manner of deposition. I can only confirm its presence.
And so it's fair to say, isn't it, that there could very well be some of this evidence that now, when you look upon it, it has the red brown stain on it. That red brown stain may not have been on that piece of evidence when it was, in fact, initially placed into, for example, a black bag.
That's possible, yes.
In the photographs that were introduced of the scene where you went with all the trash, it's fair to say that a lot of that trash and garbage had absolutely nothing to do with this case.
Correct.
How did you differentiate at the scene what applied to this case and what didn't apply?
Mainly once the discovery was made of red-brown stains on items, I was looking for any items of interest that might be in with those bags that have those red-brown stains on them as well, to try to establish any potential biological connections with the items in those bags.
And we saw a lot of photographs, but some of the photographs appear to have some of the items that were eventually taken into custody by you and given a lens number, like you described for the jury. Some of those items, when they were first taken out of the bags, it looks to be like they were placed directly onto the floor of that warehouse.
Yes, they do.
And the floor of the warehouse actually looks somewhat damp in the photo.
It does, yes.
And it was in fact damp.
I can't recall exactly the conditions, but it does. It is the floor of the facility, yes.
And so it's fair to say that a lot of the... It's fair to say you have no idea what was originally on the floor of that warehouse before you left.
Correct.
You just know that it had the appearance, it damped and damp, but you don't know what caused the damage.
That's correct.
And then these items were placed on that. Items, like for instance, the items have been admitted into evidence here, and they could have been caused to be dampened by what was on the floor of that warehouse.
That's possible, yes.
And then what happened was, once again, and your very earnest desire to preserve the integrity of the evidence, you then took a lot of those physical pieces of evidence and you placed them on, paper?
Yes, we would refer to the white parchment paper, typically in the lab as bench paper.
Bench paper. And that's what we see in the photograph.
Yes.
And then, after you collected these items, you then transported them or caused them to be transported to the lab at the Mass State Police?
Yes.
And I thought I heard you testify that you had transported to various parts of the lab?
The evidence, I believe what I had said was that the evidence will eventually travel to its respective facility where it needs to be stored. But I did submit at one laboratory with all the items.
You did?
Yes.
And after you transported the items to the lab, did you have any further, did you do any further work on these items?
No, I did not.
All right, thank you, sir.
Any redirect?
No, you're wrong.
That was my step down. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Your Honor, may we approach?
Yes.
More continuous coverage in the trial of Brian Walsh from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy. But Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time, and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget, so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets. It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue, the $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.